Let me ask. Let me just go back to Ukraine for a minute because I wanted to. I got sidetracked with some interesting things that I wanted to ask you about anyway. But obviously, there's a desire on the part of the Trump administration to end the war. Trump has said that during the campaign. He said that over and over and over again. He's saying that now as well. The question, of course, is how such a war might end. NATO, from the beginning, defined victory in a way that always seemed to me to be designed to ensure their humiliation, which was we want every Russian troop out of every inch of Russia, of what had previously been recognized as Ukraine, including Crimea. It seems obvious now that's not going to happen. Pete Hegseth, the new defense secretary, said we're never going to go back to the pre-2014 borders. There was a lot of anger that he said that, but seems true. There are a lot of people in the West who still think that the motive for the war, the goal of Putin, is not only to take all of Ukraine, but to exert in a pre-1989 way authority over large parts of Eastern Europe as well. And then there are a lot of people who say, no, it seemed like what Putin and the Russians want is some buffer zone to ensure safety between NATO, an encroaching NATO, moving eastward, and Ukraine. So how do you see the real Russian goal, the longer-term Russian goal, when it comes to Ukraine and Eastern Europe?
I think that if we consider their real capacity of Russia, of modern Russia, to, for example, to put the Eastern Europe under control, as was the case of the Second World War, we arrive immediately after serious consideration that is absolutely impossible. Maybe it was desirable. Maybe we would rave of that. We would do everything to accomplish that by strategical and historical reasons in order to reinforce our security, but that is absolutely out of our capacities. So, and nobody could say in Russia that we are able to do that. Maybe we will be obliged, put in the situation, a necessity to fight with Europe, with NATO, and maybe this war will give some positive results, but that is very, very small possibility.
And people in Russia recognize that, not just you.
Absolutely. No, that is common opinion. For example, few would say that we would desire that.
Right.
But all would agree that we
are the capability is not there.
More than that, it is now very difficult to us to establish full control over Ukraine, and we see that. But we would prefer to have at least neutral Ukraine, so neutral, not hostile, not friendly, but just neutral, as was in the case of Kuchma or Yanukovych, working with West, having good relations with us, and we would let Ukraine alone with Crimea, with Donbass. We didn't want that. That was our government tried to avoid military intervention. So that is absolutely clear. So we could when we started more powerful way to keep Ukraine back under our conflicts, there was this war. And in this war, we see some absolutely certain points. First of all, NATO, as you have said, could not overcome Russia. So the goal to liberate, so-called liberate Crimea or eastern part of Ukraine is impossible on the level of the powers. So we stand strong against all the sanctions, all NATO weapons given to Ukrainians, and we will stay in that and maybe progress until the end, until the last Russians. We are very decisive on that. But at the same time, we see how difficult to us is to progress. So we would satisfy at least now, with keeping back these territories, assuring that Ukraine is not going to become the part member.
When you say keep back, do you mean that, and I realize you're not necessarily mm-hmm. negotiating for the government, or even if you were, you wouldn't do it with me, but is there a scenario, do you think, in which Russia would be willing to give back to Ukraine some or all of the land it has come to occupy over the last 3 years?
It's absolutely zero chance for that.
Why is that?
First of all, we have paid big price for that, and nobody in Russia, in Russian society, no warriors, no people who have lost their children, people, the parents, they would accept that. So Putin has
because
said,
otherwise their loss of their children would be for no reason. In other words, the people
like
who lost
yes,
their...
Yes,
their...
yes, because that was a kind of patriotic, great patriotic war, and it is continuing. And Putin has put his authority on the scale of the victory. So without victory, no legitimacy, historical legitimacy of...
What is victory?
That depends. In my opinion, there are different scales. So it could be a control over Ukraine with putting some,
all of Ukraine,
putting some not pro-Russian but neutral figure on the top, the dismantling military potential and Nazi ideology, Russophobia, this hatred to Russian Orthodox Church, Russian language. So that would be maximal victory. If we liberate what we call Novorossiya, the territory that include four regions we have already have taken and
all the provinces in eastern Ukraine that you
as well. So these four provinces and new four provinces around Odessa, Kharkov, Nikolaev, and Dnipropetrovsk. But that could be annexed to Russia, and it could be victory as well. So if we manage to do that, or to take Kyiv. And to divide Ukraine in two parts, western and eastern, less possible, the smallest victory that we could maybe afford. I'm not sure, but maybe it is in the plans. It is to keep the territories, the provinces we have already in Russia and Crimea, obviously, and to give. All the Ukraine, all the rest of Ukraine, to accept that, to demilitarize, and promising not to enter NATO. But I think that that as well, this smallest victory could provide a huge reaction from the population, and a normal victory, the victory that will immediately satisfy everybody here, and that is very important to the future period, because we need to assimilate, to integrate these new territories, old in our history, old earths. That will be accepted by everybody. The smallest victory that is inconceivable for the West, for Zelensky, and I think maybe for Washington now, that could create critical turmoil inside of Russia. So it will be very, very, very difficult to present as victory in the
just
level.
Just maintaining what you have.
Let
me ask you about that, because there's a lot of times there is in Western propaganda a kind of cartoon version of Russia that's presented, which is that Putin is not just, as you call him or described him maybe, the father figure of the country, but he's a totalitarian leader. Only his will rules everything. There's no dissent, there's no opposition, there's no questioning permissible. My sense, following Russian politics as best as I can from a distance, is that there's actually been a lot of disagreement in Moscow and in political circles about what this war ought to achieve. You're obviously laying out different views that people have of what it is. Is there a certain kind of political pressure on President Putin inside Russia not to give away too much?
I think that is not so much political pressure from concrete political groups, but rather the general opinion, a kind of moods of people in the front, the people here in the country. So the patriotism is now a kind of common position of the absolute majority of the Russians. And patriotism, that is sociological, cultural, ideological,
psychological.
Line. Psychological, absolutely. And that creates much more pressure on Putin than any fraction around him. And what is interesting, there are people who are in tune with this patriotism and close to Putin, but they are still not the absolute majority. The many representatives of the Putin's elite still believe in the end of the conflicts and restoration of the pre-war relations with the West. So they accepted this patriotic line of Putin and a majority of the population, but they still have the second thought, and I think they are making the pressure on Putin in order to stop as soon as possible the war. So the pressure on Putin is not from the side of the pro-war.
Do more, take all of Ukraine.
Yes. But from stop it immediately. Stop it in any way and accept any suggestions.
Who are those people? How would you describe people with those views?
I'm calling them sixth column. There is fifth column. Fifth column, there are liberals, pro-Western, who openly protest and protested against Putin. Now they are mostly outside of Russia. If they are here, they don't show themselves because it is over with them. So fifth column doesn't exist here as the...
Is that because they've been suppressed or imprisoned or just driven out because of public opinion or a combination of both?
Not too much repressed, but not too much, and despised by majority of population, but not until the moment to beat them, to hit them, to aggress them. So they preferred to run away before the real repression, in their opinion, would start. So they have fled the country. So we could not know whether it would be repressions or not, severe or not so severe, because they now outside. But there is sixth column. So there are liberals, the representative of this 90s, Yeltsin's time, oligarchs, some bureaucrats, who really hate patriotism, who hate our people, sovereignty. They had very good life during this good relations with the West, and they still keep the same mood, the same attitude. But instead in spite of the rebellion against Putin, they prefer to be on his side, and
because they keep their influence that way, but not really share the vision.
Yes. Sixth column. So right. he are now advocates of Putin, but they dream about stopping the war and return to the pre-war period. So that was, I think that is a very interesting situation. They are powerful. They try to influence Putin. They try to make pressure on him. And they are part of this globalist network. Maybe they were paid by USA, because now it is manifested that USA has helped to write Russian Constitution, We are living under USA product and many other norms and laws in the beginning of the 90s. So we, Russia was the part of this network, and the people from this USA paid network in different levels, now many of them are the part of people close to of our elite, close to Putin. So they weren't purged, because Putin, he is very, very mild, to say the truth, very, very gentle. He prefer to convince someone than to fire or to punish him or her. So he is very, very humanistic, and he has conserved almost all the core of this pro-Western liberal elite. Only most radical were fired or put outside. But that is the real danger, because the mentality of this liberal sixth column is much more as Scholz, Macron, Starmer, and not Trump. So they want, now they are in a very awkward position, they want peace with the West, but they don't like absolutely Trump, because in Trump they see maybe their fate, their doom. If Putin would start something like Russian Doge, they will be first to suffer.
Thanks for watching this clip from System Update, our live show that airs every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Rumble. You can catch the full nightly shows live or view the backlog of episodes for free on our Rumble page. You can also find full episodes the morning after they air across all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify and Apple. All the information you need is linked below. We hope to see you there.